Hi, I'm Jay Shubrook, DO, family physician, diabetologist, and professor at Touro University, California, and we're continuing our series on everyday diabetes, practical management strategies for primary care. I'm delighted to have Dr. Jim Chamberlain today. He's the medical director of diabetes services at St. Mark's Hospital and St. Mark's Diabetes Center in Salt Lake City, Utah. He's also an active contributor to the Primary Care Advisory Group of the American Diabetes Association. Jim, happy to have you today.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
We're so glad you're here. So, you know, there's been a lot of news about diabetes medications and these cardiovascular outcome trials, and it seems to be a change in trajectory. Tell me a little bit more about why I need to know about cardiovascular outcome trials.
Well, because we've had some good results lately, and it's something that I think we've been, you know, trying to accomplish for a long time, and we're finally seeing the results we want to see. So, before we get into some of the data, I want to introduce a term that is going to be used multiple times here. And people watching this, some have heard this, I'm sure, this term, but MACE, M-A-C-E, which stands for Major Adverse Cardiovascular Events. And that's something the FDA has required. As you know, all new drugs that come on the market have to prove cardiovascular safety. And so we've had two trials recently that showed benefit with respect to cardiovascular outcomes. So the first was the EMPA-REG trial, which was the study of empagliflozin or Jardiance, over 7,000 patients, over 3 years of data, and they met the composite endpoint of MACE, of cardiovascular death, non-fatal MI, non-fatal stroke, by 14%. Most of that was driven by a huge reduction, 38% in cardiovascular death risk reduction. So empagliflozin has that indication now from the FDA. The second was the LEADER trial with liraglutide or Victoza, which was a bigger study, over 9,000 patients, again, 3 to 4 years of data, 13% risk, relative risk reduction in the composite endpoint of major adverse cardiovascular events. So Victoza now has that three composite endpoint outcome indication from the FDA. So cardiovascular risk reduction from death risk reduction, non-fatal MI, non-fatal stroke. So that's why it's in the news, because we, you know, we went through this period of time where we went through the ACCORD trial and the ADVANCE trial and the VADT, the VA, the Veterans Diabetes trial, where we didn't show improvement in cardiovascular outcomes or mortality with, you know, aggressive glycemic control. And in the ACCORD trial, of course, we were harming people. There was a 22% increase in mortality and the study was halted early. So we've gone from, you know, not being able to do this, and most of that was probably driven in the older trials by hypoglycemia, which is a whole nother topic. But I think it's really important and it's exciting to see that we have drugs now that not only lower glucose, but they lower blood pressure and they lower body weight and they minimize the risk for hypoglycemia. And when you do all of that, we're starting to see the benefit that we hope we would see. And we're finally seeing it.
Yeah, and I think that's great. Maybe I need to ask even a more basic question. So when I think of treating diabetes, I think about reducing blindness, kidney failure, and amputation. But should I be thinking about cardiovascular risk too?
Well, you know, there's people who think we should be judging drugs on their cardiovascular risk reduction and not hemoglobin A1C reduction. You know, I think both are important. I mean, I think we all know that, right? I mean, we do need to separate. It's a great question because we need to separate microvascular complications we think are pretty much exclusively, for the most part, related to blood glucose, blood pressure too, maybe with kidneys. But, you know, when we look at cardiovascular risk reduction, yes, I mean, we've got to look at both. We're trying to lower blood glucose to not only make people feel better, but to reduce microvascular complications. But we have this whole other incredibly important endpoint that we need to be looking at, which is cardiovascular death, because diabetics die 2 to 3 times more frequently from cardiovascular disease than non-diabetics. So we need to be looking at both. It's all important, but it's exciting that we can finally start to look at this cardiovascular risk reduction side, separate from statins and aspirin and ACEs and ARBs and all those things and beta blockers, but looking at, you know, what we traditionally think of as glucose lowering drugs also improving cardiovascular outcomes, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, excuse me, because I think my patients don't think about cardiovascular disease. They think about these other endpoints, but as you and I both know, and I think most of the listeners know, most of our patients actually die of heart disease and stroke.
Right. So,
you know, we worry about these things and they are the microvascular important patient focused endpoints. we still need to do the work to prevent the number one cause of death in the people with diabetes.
Right.
So that's great. So you said there's at least two medications out there. How has that affected your practice? Does it change the way you prescribe? Does it change the classes you use? What are you taking from that?
Well, yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, it probably more than a little bit. I mean, I think now that we have drugs in two classes, GLP-1 agonists and SGLT2 inhibitors that have some data behind it, it's, for me, it's a little bit hard not to use those drugs earlier in place of drugs that we've traditionally used, like sulfonylureas, TZDs, maybe insulin, that, you know, have their place but tend to cause weight gain and hypoglycemia. And those are probably the side effects that have limited our ability to reduce cardiovascular events in some of these outcomes trials. So it's impacting how when I sit with a patient and we're not at goal and we're choosing drug two or three or four or whatever it is, I'm absolutely thinking more about these outcomes trials and the data that we have that supports a few of these drugs.
And are you able to get these covered in your practice?
Yeah, I mean, some, you know, typically yes. It may not be the one I want necessarily. You know, one of the things that comes up is this class effect question. And, you know, canagliflozin in Invokana has had their cardiovascular safety trial, and they didn't show the same sort of, you know, major adverse cardiovascular event risk reduction we saw with Jardiance or empagliflozin. So, and some of the, you know, the DPP-4 inhibitors, most of those studies are done, did not show benefit, didn't show harm. So I'm trying to find one in the class, if I can, that I would like to use more frequently and earlier, which is probably GLP-1 and SGLT2 inhibitor, but can't always get the one you want covered. So, you know, you got to figure out how much time you want to spend fighting that fight.
Sure. So for the busy primary care provider out there, what are maybe the two or three things you want to make sure they know as it relates to the new medications and cardiovascular outcomes?
Well, number one, be aware. Just, you know that the data is there. Know that we have data now. We have indications from the FDA for multiple drugs now to reduce cardiovascular risk. I think the second thing is to understand who was studied in, who that indication is for. It's for patients with type 2 diabetes who have established cardiovascular disease. So, you know, it's not for everybody with type 2 diabetes. Don't expect that you're going to get cardiovascular risk reduction with a 40-year-old type 2 diabetic who doesn't have vascular disease, who may have no other cardiovascular risk factors. That's not who was studied in these studies. And the third, I think, which is really important, is you need to know these drugs. And in particular, you know, there's been some concerns with SGLT2 inhibitors recently, with lower extremity amputation, mostly of the toes and midfoot. SGLT2 inhibitors are great drugs, but they are powerful drugs, not necessarily on glycemic control, because they're pretty average. You know, I mean, they give us the 1% A1C reduction we like, but they volume contract. It's like being on a diuretic and a diabetes drug at the same time. And so this risk in the feet that we've seen is probably from volume contraction, intravascular volume depletion in people who may have peripheral vascular disease that's undiagnosed. So I think it's really important that primary care providers be aware of people treating diabetes. Look at people's feet. The risk factors for amputation in the CANVAS trial were previous amputation, history of ulceration, peripheral sensory neuropathy, and peripheral vascular disease. So, you know, you've got to know the drugs. You have to know the dosing restrictions based on GFR. And I think, especially with SGLT2 inhibitors, we need to be looking at people's feet when we prescribe these drugs. I mean, seriously, you should look at people's feet and say, okay, you know, no neuropathy, you've got good pulses, no known vascular disease is probably a safe drug for you. But that's brought up, you know, again, great drugs, but you really have to be thinking more, I think, with the SGLT2 inhibitors when you prescribe them, looking at several different clinical factors.
Well, thank you so much today. You really highlighted a couple important things. Number one, the game has changed. We now have medications that not only lower glucose, but they lower the number one cause of things that kills people with type 2 diabetes. Two, get to know the classes, the GLP-1 receptor agonists and the SGLT2 inhibitors. And three, continue to work to try to pick agents that are going to improve, not only reducing microvascular risk, but macrovascular risk. But be aware, I know the medications for their good effects, their side effects, and their net effects on glucose as well.
Couldn't have said it better. Thanks,
Thank
Jay.
Thank you so much. And we're really glad you can contribute to the program.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.